Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 14, Working Class Movements. Let us have introduction about the unit. The modern working class arose in India in the 19th century. This development was due to the establishment of modern factories, railways, dockyards, and construction activities relating to roads and buildings. It was a modern working class in the sense of relatively modern organization of labor and a relatively free market for labor. There were certain important exceptions to this rule. The plantation workers, who also worked for the capitalist employers and produced goods which were sold in the international market, were recruited and worked under unfree conditions. In fact, for the majority of the workers in colonial India, the recruitment and working conditions were not as free as were present in some other countries, which were capitalistically more developed. This situation had its impact on the working class movement as it developed over the years. Apart from less developed economy, the colonial condition also had its bearing on the labor movement. This unit will discuss the labor movement in India as a social movement. Now we are going to discuss what is working class movements. It must be clarified right in the beginning that working class movement and trade union movement are not exactly the same. They are different in their sense that the working class is a much broader phenomena and covers all kinds of movement involving workers. It includes within its ambit silent protest, passive resistance, individual protest, and strikes, as well as more organized forms of welfare activities and bigger protest and strikes reaching to the level of general strikes. It involves various kinds of reactions and responses of the workers to the industrial system. These reactions may be to ameliorate the working and living condition within the industrial system, but they may also be radically opposed to the industrial system itself. Thus, labor movement may range from everyday struggles to the workers to general strikes encompassing the whole industry or many industries. It covers the activities and movements of the workers within the capitalist system as well as those opposed to it. Trade union movements, on the other hand, accepts the industrial system as given, but attempts to make it more human, more amenable to the needs of workers. It tries to reform the working and living conditions of workers within the industrial system. The short-term and long-term working of trade unions is geared towards making the workers more committed to the industrial work while agitating for higher wages, suitable working conditions, stable housing, and reasonable credit system. The classic definition of trade unions, which still holds good, was formulated by Sidney and Beat Rice Webb. A trade union, as we understand the term, is a continuous association of wage earners, for the purpose of maintaining or improving the conditions of their employment. While labor movement may include various types of structures, pre-industrial or modern in nature, which coordinate the protest activities of the workers, the trade unions are generally hierarchical and bureaucratic, relying upon a variety of functionaries with definite role. The trade unions run on the basis of continuous membership of and regular contribution from workers. Although the trade unions are hierarchical, these hierarchies are not fixed, but are based on acceptance of democratic principles of equality and elections. In principle, anybody can occupy any post in the trade union hierarchy, irrespective of caste, creed, religion, reason, or economic status. Thus, it needs to be made clear that the working class movement is a much larger phenomena which includes the trade unions. However, it can be said that trade unions are the most organized and modern expression of the labor movement. Next point is development of capitalist enterprises. The working class is an integral part of the capitalist economy. Traces of capitalism were introduced in India in the 19th century under colonial dispensation. It was an ironic situation where the organization of production was capitalistic, whereas the labor market was unfree. Plantations and railways were the initial enterprises to herald the era of colonial capitalism in Indian subcontinent. A British company, the Assam Tea Company, was established in 1839 to set up tea gardens in Assam. Coffee plantations were started in South India by 1840. Companies which were organized along capitalist lines and produced for international markets established these plantations. However, force and manipulation were used to recruit the laborers who were then kept in bonded conditions. The expansion railways, especially after the revolt of 1857, provided suitable conditions for the development of capitalist enterprise in India. The migration of the indentured labor, transport of raw material and manufactured goods within and outside the country became much easier. Port cities Bombay, Calcutta, and Madras became the centers of the capitalist economy. Cotton mills in Bombay, jute mills in Calcutta, and several factories in Madras were set up in the late 19th century. Similar development took place in some other cities as well: Ahmedabad, Kanpur, Sholapur, and Nagpur. It was mostly owned by the Indians. A Scottish entrepreneur started the first jute mill in Calcutta in 1854. It also expanded rapidly over the next 50 years. The ownership of the cotton mills was with the Indian entrepreneurs, while that of jute was with the foreigners for a long time. By 1914, there were 264 cotton mills in India employing 260,000 workers, 60 jute mills with 2 lakh workers. The railways provided work to to 6 lakh people, the plantations to 7 lakh workers, and mines to 1,50,000 workers. Next point is workers' movements before the emergence of trade unions. Even before the emergence of trade unions after the First World War, there have been various forms of labor movements and protest against low wages, long working hours, inhuman conditions of work, and several other issues. In fact, the trade unions can be seen as the result of these earlier labor struggles to secure their demands. The trade unions, however, were the most organized and advanced form of labor organization. When they emerged, in this section, we will introduce you to the labor movements in the period before the emergence of the trade unions. Although the plantations and mines contained a large number of workers who were heavily exploited, their conditions did not attract much attention in the initial period because they were far from the urban areas, away from the notice of early social reformers, journalists, and public activists. But despite this isolation, the plantation workers on their own registered their protests against the exploitation and oppression by the plantation owners and managers. Reports of such resistance are available since 1884. Individual and collective absentation from work and abandonment of the tea gardens were forms of passive resistance by the workers. More active forms of protest were expressed in individual and collective violence against the assaults by the plantation authorities. All these protests were severely repressed by the planters, muslimmen, with the help of the colonial police. The workers in the cotton and jute industries and in the railways, on the other hand, were more in the public gaze. The early social workers and philanthropists were also involved with them. This facilitated better organizational work as well as better reporting and public support. Records of open resistance are available since 1870s in Bombay. In 1884, the Bombay Cotton Mill workers held a big meeting and submitted their demands to the government for lesser hours of work. There were also reports of strikes among the mill workers. By the 1890s, the strikes became so frequent that the authorities spoke about a strike mania among the workers. These strikes and protests increasingly began to involve more and more workers. The increasing duration of strikes and involvement of large number of workers forced the Bombay Mill Owners Association to refer to the existence of a labor movement in this century in 1913. The increasing intensity and frequency of strikes on wages and other issues created a situation where it was possible to combine at a wider level. The rising prices, declining real wages, and shortage of food stuff during the First World War created a situation for a large action, and it resulted in the general strike in 1919 involving all cotton textile mills in Bombay. There was another general strike in 1920 on the issue of wages and bonus. These took place before the existence of any trade unions in the Bombay mills. In other industrial centers like Calcutta, Ahmedabad, Kanpur, Madras, Nagpur, and Surat, the situation was almost similar. The workers were slowly learning to protest and combine for the redress of their grievances. These combinations were increasingly growing bigger, involving large number of workers. The war years, which allowed the industries to make huge profits while the workers' real wages declined, made the workers extremely dissatisfied with their conditions and therefore created the atmosphere for a broader unity, leading to bigger strikes in many industrial centers. Strike waves spread in all other places and engulfed non-factory concerns like railways, plantations, mines, ports and docks, engineering workshops, oil installations, government mint and presses, tramways, gas and electricity supply undertakings, and even the municipal workers. There were many people and organizations involved with these workers. In Bengal, Sasipada Banerjee initiated welfare activities among the workers since the early 1870s. He tried to educate them and to voice their grievances. For this purpose, he founded the Working Men's Club in 1870 and started publishing a monthly journal in Bengali entitled Bharat Sarambha Jibi in 1874. The Brahmo Samaj formed the Working Men's Mission in Bengal in 1870 to impart moral education among the workers. It also established the Working Men's Institution in 1905. In Bombay, N. M. Lokhande was actively involved in welfare and organizational activities among the cotton mill workers since the 1880s. In 1890s, he established the Bombay Mill Hands Association, and in 1898, he started publishing a journal entitled Deen Bandhu in Marathi. Besides him, S.S. Bengali was also actively propagating for improving the conditions of the workers since 1878. Some other important organizations active among the Bombay workers were the Bombay Mill Hands Defense Association, formed by Bal Gangadhar Tilak in 1908. The Kamgar Hitvardhak Sabha, formed in 1909, and the Social Service League, established in 1911. However, these bodies were primarily interested in welfare activities and did not have much organizational base among the workers. Workers' protests in this period were basically organized by the jobbers, the sardars, and such other informal leaders, or by the vocal and active sections among the workers themselves. There were some organizations in this period which resembled the trade unions. The Ahmedabad Society of Railway Servants of India and Burma formed in 1897, the Printers' Union in Calcutta and the Postal Union in Bombay were among these, but they could not maintain any continuity in their functioning and were in existence for a short period only. Here we want to wind up this lecture. Thank you so much for your attention.